Hi, I'm Flori Gessner. I am 33 years old. Today is Thursday, May 20th, 2021, and we're in Baltimore, Maryland. My conversation partner is Ben Eagerman, and we are friends and colleagues and vaccination buddies.
Yes.
Yeah.
My name is Ben Eagerman. I am 35 years old. Today is Thursday, May 20th, 2021. We're in Baltimore, Maryland. I am here with Flori Gessner, who is my friend and coworker. So we were talking earlier about libraries. We're both librarians.
Yes.
And specifically about sort of your... Well, I'll put it this way. When you were a kid, did you think at age 33 you would be a librarian?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, and I think this is the same for a lot of queer people, especially queer people who were born like late 80s, early 90s, where we didn't really see a lot of images of ourselves, like grown up. I certainly had no concept that I would ever make it to 33. And I did kind of have this deal with myself, like as a teenager, where I was kind of like, all right, if I live to be 25, I'll be, you know, go to grad school for something practical and become a librarian. And it was kind of like a, you know, plan D, E, F, like not even plan B. It was sort of just a thing that I thought of as like a stable career and like a normal life. Yeah, I feel like if you told me I was going to be 33 and a librarian in Baltimore, I would be like, what algorithm spit out those random words? Like, I truly did not know what librarians did when I was a kid, which is embarrassing because I was at the library a lot and my mom is a children's book author. So like I had a lot of relationships with like librarians throughout. I grew up in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and like my mom had a lot of relationships with the school librarians because that was kind of her job to like go around and talk to classes of kids about her books and stuff. So the idea that this was my future is so random, but I do have a lot of really, really positive memories about the library, like going there as a kid for like story times, that sort of thing. And then as I got older, like becoming a teenager, whenever I had like questions about stuff that probably no one in my house could answer or like no one around me could answer, or I wanted to know like the real answer, I would go to the library and try to figure that out.
What kind of stuff were you looking up or finding?
I think the first time I looked something up for myself, this is, I think, hilarious, but I typed into the library like old interface and probably like 1998 punk rock. Like I was like, I had my best friend, her dad was like a cool like radio DJ and he was from Scotland and his favorite band was the Sex Pistols. And I was like scared to write sex on my home computer. So I went to the library and I was like, what is punk rock? And I got this like big picture book and I learned all about like zines and stuff when I was like a little kid. And I kind of like learned from those experiences, like the library is where you go to get answers to questions that like, my parents certainly didn't know what punk rock was. Like my parents couldn't tell me that. And I was like, not really the type of kid that would be like, oh, I don't know that band. You know what I mean? Like I was very much just like, uh-huh. Yeah, also, this is what my family is like, too. But it wasn't. I started going there, and I feel like, I was telling you this earlier, I didn't know the word for, like, being trans. I didn't have any concept of what that was. But I did read, like, 7 biographies of David Bowie when I was a high school student. Like, I would just go to the library and look for things. I didn't even really know that I was looking for trans stuff or information about being trans. I was just kind of like following what mattered to me because I was kind of mean, I definitely have ADHD. I have a hard time paying attention to stuff that doesn't matter to me. And so I was going to pick out my own reading material, my own like kind of research interests.
Yeah. So, well, moving forward then, what drew you back to libraries, or did you ever?
Yeah, so I got a random placement my first year of college in the Special Collections and Archives. And I didn't really like working in Special Collections and Archives because I really enjoy like the social aspect of working in a library. Like I really enjoy interacting with people. And the archives, like, you know, people have to make an appointment to come to you, and they're usually doing hyper-specific research, and you don't really interact with them. You kind of just like let them be with the materials. And so I was kind of like, I don't like this, but I like physically being in the library. Like, I like the air conditioning, and it smells like books, and people are like quietly reading, and that's like a really nice ambient feeling of everyone kind of like reading or looking at movies or, you know, studying, that sort of thing. It's a very social, even when people are quietly studying by themselves, it's kind of a social environment. And it's much better than being in a dorm. Dorms are like the worst, at least they were where I was. And so, yeah, I didn't really like that experience, but I really liked being in the library. And so, like in college, I got a job at my public library in Iowa City, Iowa. And my job was like not researchy at all. It was very like clean off the headphones that people use when they're using the internet, take their ID, help this lady put a picture of herself on Facebook. Like, it wasn't really, I guess, what you think of as like librarianship, but all the training that I had just to do that was like really amazing. I had like never since this, I really haven't had this happen at a job yet, but like kind of sensitivity training about homelessness, I've never had that before. Like, I feel like every job I've had, like in food or in retail or whatever, are kind of just like, don't give the extra food to homeless people. You know, kind of like keep those folks out of the store or whatever. And at the library, our training was like, you can't tell someone to leave because they smell bad. You have to help them find a place to shower. And that kind of blew my mind as far as like a job goes. Cause I was literally just like helping people get on the internet part-time, like, you know, 20 years old. Like, I didn't really have any concept of librarianship still. And yet the library was so thoughtful about the people who were there that I was like really moved. And then I had like a moment of like being like, oh, like this is where cool adults are, because like the adults around me, I mean, not cool. I didn't think they were like, you know, like the hippest people in the world, but I thought there were people whose like morals lined up with mine in a way that really blew my mind. One of my duties, which was like, you know, all very technical, just like little labor jobs, was to shred a piece of paper. And I asked when I was being trained, like, why do I do that? And they're like, you remember the Patriot Act? And I was like, kind of. I was maybe like 12 when that happened. But basically, like, if the government wants to check on people and like see what they're like, you know, researching or whatever, which is, I think a lot of librarians view that as an invasion of privacy. They basically, yeah, they shred the documents so they don't have to report it to the government. And I was like, hold, like, you're instructing me to do this? And I was like, I mean, I was like 20 years old. I like, you know, Iowa City, Iowa. I had no concept. And I was really like, the public library, the government is telling me to do this? Like, it kind of blew my mind. So that was kind of my first inkling that like, maybe this is a place I will come back to. Like, maybe this is a place that actually is for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so then moving forward, when did you wind up going back to, going to library school, or were you already working in the library when you did that?
I wasn't. I did AmeriCorps in Philly, and it was you know, not really for me. Like at the end of that year of trial or whatever, you either sign on for another year or you get hired at the place you go. And I was definitely not getting hired, and I definitely didn't want to do another year. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to take this, you know, education reward. They give you this reward or like payment that you can only use towards school or whatever. And kind of use that to fund my first year of grad school, because I wasn't really sure if I wanted to do it like 100%. And I was like, all right, I've got my first semester paid for, and if I don't like it after that, I can leave. And so then I went through the PDF on the American Library Association website, which is 75 pages long. And I searched for, library schools in America that had a program for like, teen services and like children's stuff. Cause I thought I'd be a children's librarian, which I am not. I'm an, fine art and music librarian, which I mean, is also very much my subject interest in what I went to school for. But yeah, so I applied to school. I decided on University of Pittsburgh because I was living in Philadelphia and I wanted to get that sweet, sweet in-state tuition. like, you know, so I was like, this is the least risk I could take financially, basically, with this degree. So I moved to Pittsburgh and went to library school. Like I did a little bit of a trip out there to check out the school. And I was like, great, this campus is beautiful. There is an art library. There is a great public library system. All the teachers seem really on board, like with the same things I'm interested in, and they all seemed like cool people. And yeah, so yeah, I took myself to library school. Yeah.
Well, now that you have since graduated and work at a library, what kind of stuff excites you about like providing specific service?
Well, I just like love interacting with people and helping people find stuff that they need to do. I mean, a lot of the things that people do at the library are things that they need to get done. Like, you know, make a bunch of copies of something so they can apply for a house or that sort of thing. Or like for housing, or, you know, I help people fill out a lot of forms. And just do really pragmatic things. But I love helping people find things that are just for joy and for pleasure. Like I'm, you know, an art and music librarian, and helping people find sheet music is a delight. Looking at new books to buy is a dream. If you told me, like when I was a little kid, that, you know, I was gonna grow up and be a librarian, I'd be like, I'd be like, if you actually said, you get to buy the big gay art books, I would have been like, yes, that's what I want to do. And that's pretty much, I get to buy the big gay art books. I got to buy a book like this big, like I'm making a large shape with my arms, the size of like a human torso on Rihanna. And people like love it. It, you know, people had a terrible year this year and they want to read a giant book about Rihanna and like learn how to play music and, you know, look at things that inspire them. People have been really, like, I can't tell you, like, what people have been checking out for privacy reasons, but you get to help people do things that, like, help them cope in really, really difficult times, and also just bring them joy, you know? And you get to pick out those books. You get to buy them for people and get all the new ones and see all the old ones. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right. All right. We're about 20 minutes in. Do you want to do yours or should I?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Okay.
You want to ask me the same question?
Yeah, totally. So what are your first memories of like being in a library or the place of a library?
Well, my first memories, obviously, unsurprisingly, are like school library or children's sections of the public library. You know, and I always liked the library. If you had told me, at any point prior to say 30,
yeah,
that at 35, no, not prior to 30. No, if you had told me at any point prior to certainly like 25, that at age 35, I would be a public librarian.
In Baltimore, Maryland.
In Baltimore, Maryland, I would have been very confused. Yeah. I wouldn't have really understood because it was something that didn't click at first.
Same, yeah.
I always liked libraries. I always enjoyed being there. I did actually work, again, similarly, for a special collections department for 1 year in college. I was transcribing someone's letters home from the 19th century, and it wasn't particularly interesting, but there was something fairly fascinating about it. I'm also someone who has a degree in history and has always loved history. And all of my experiences with libraries were really positive. And I definitely remember, well, what I'll say is that I did think about being an archivist shortly after graduation. I had written a senior thesis on one of the earlier writings about a community of gay men in America in the 1840s. And in order to do that, I had to research this series of tabloids that were housed at the American Antiquarian Society in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Is that near where you were?
Yeah. I grew up in the suburbs of Boston. So what I did was, when I was home for winter break, I would just drive out there every day. And it was a sanctuary. And you walked in and there were a few archivists who, as soon as I explained what I was doing, were very excited and like handing me materials. And I was like so blown away, but it was so exclusive.
Yeah.
I had to have a letter from my advisor just to get in the door. And that turned me off a lot, right? I had this problem because after that, that same advisor was trying to encourage me to get a PhD and become a history professor. And my response was, I really found higher education to be incredibly elitist.
Yeah.
And exclusionary. And that didn't vibe with what I believed and what I cared about. And so when I heard that, unsurprisingly, my nice Jewish parents were very excited about the prospect of, hey, you should go to a PhD program and become a professor. But I thought, you know, I found this really elitist and really unpleasant when I was going to school.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not only studying more, but then spending my life working there.
Yeah, and perpetuating that environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I sort of pieced out of that for a long time. But really when I had moved here and I had...
Here is Baltimore.
Yeah, here is Baltimore. I'd moved to Baltimore. I moved to Baltimore in 2016 and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was considering actually going to try and get a PhD. It had been... I graduated in 2008 from undergrad, so, you know, it had been 8 years.
Yeah.
And I was struggling with it, and I wound up going on a truly terrible date, a really terrible date, and this is easily one of the worst dates I've ever had, but this guy, who I did not like him, but he made this offhand comment when I was talking about, like, how I really like doing research in history, but like I'm really like frustrated because I don't want to get a PhD. I don't want to stay in higher education. And he's like, well, what about a public library? And it was like his little gears started turning. Wait, what about a public library? and it started dawning on me that libraries had in fact always been a really special place for me. That especially during college, you know, you would go there to study or work, but I had a pretty alienating experience in college. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd moved from the suburbs of Boston as this little, like, newly out gay Jew to a liberal arts school in Northfield, Minnesota, which is really...
That's not close to Minneapolis, yeah, right? It's like an hour and a half?
No, it's about 45 minutes. So it's, like, close enough, but I didn't have a car.
Yeah, nobody really has a car when you're 18 and you move to another state, like, yeah, halfway across the country, yeah.
So it was this unbelievably isolating experience because people would, you know, I would get, you know, do you want to be my gay friend a lot?
Yeah.
I would get, tell me about Jews a lot.
What year was this?
2004 to 2008.
Okay.
And the one place that I sort of went for that calm, was the library. And especially then, I remember my senior year when I knew I had a senior thesis, going to a certain section when I saw that there was a book called Gay and Lesbian American History by Jonathan Ned Katz, and reading through it and realizing, hey, I was in a history program. Other than, you know, we had successfully gotten a gay studies professor to come. Other than that class, I didn't have any connection to any gay community. You know, there were like five other out gay men that I knew, right? In
we
the
didn't
entire
have elders the way they used to be because this was 2004. So 2004
yeah.
to 2008.
Yeah, I mean,
post AIDS crisis, we didn't really have a lot of elders like around.
Absolutely. And so this idea that we had a history, because you never really learned that history.
Yeah.
I learned a little bit about it from that one queer studies, class, but, that idea and that you could go to the library and you could look up a book and they would actually have it about something that seemed very, at the time, very esoteric and very like hush hush.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could do research on that. That was like this mind blowing idea. And so I got really pulled into this idea of, you know, that could be what the library can be, a place for serious, like really serious sort of like work and research, but also, you know, something that can be very personal, very much about community, and can offer that to people. And that was that moment on that terrible date where I was like, you're right, actually, a public library is exactly what I am describing when I say I love research, I love knowledge, I'm a naturally like inquisitive person, and I get excited when people ask me to help with research or anything like that, or anything related to knowledge, but I don't want to be in higher education. I don't want to be in a university.
Behind barriers.
Yeah, behind barriers, because I just felt so, yeah, I wanted to do that, but I wanted to do it in a way that was open and accepting and anyone could come in and do it. And so I started going to library school at get my Master's of Library and Information Sciences at University of Maryland College Park. And I started working for the Enoch Pratt Free Library, where we both work,
mm-hmm.
and started getting more and more connected specifically to that same stuff that really drew me in when I was 20, 21 years old. Because I wound up getting connected to a project on local LGBTQ history and started connecting with other people, both in the library and outside, who were interested in doing education around it and research around it. And so we wound up putting together a few programs that started to present that history.
Yeah.
And it was remarkable. First, because it was so clear. This was the first ones that I did were in 2019. So this was the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising, which this like really turning point in LGBTQ history. And so people were really craving this. And I remember my first presentation, I was worried no one would show up, and it was like packed.
I was there. It was I sat on the floor in the front because we were out of seats, and there were actually a number of like really kind of a great age range of people who showed up for it. A room was packed. It was, you know,
yeah,
at the Roland Park branch. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my God, this is something people really want. And so, I started working with another coworker of ours and two elders who lead a walking tour to do these programs through the library.
Yeah.
And that to me has been this really exciting thing because it means that it's, again, open to everyone. And it's an entry point for people. I get people after these talks where we just go through, you know, we start around the basically Industrial Revolution, with the growth of Baltimore as a big city. And that brings in a lot of people and, you know, people start finding each other and there develops a little community.
Yeah, it was cool that in the attendance of your first thing, there were other librarians there, like other librarians who work where we work and were older gay folks and told us some pretty amazing
stories about it. Yeah,
things like yeah. it really gave me a very clear picture of what it would have been like to be a gay person in the 30s or 40s, in which I did couldn't
okay,
even
okay. Our the people who came were not that.
No. Okay. The stories they told us were about
their friends who were older.
Their librarians who were like senior to them.
Yes,
and they basically told us about a sham marriage between two gay librarians.
Yes. But so anyways, I do these talks and afterwards it's always stories like this, right? But it's also always people who are really curious about something. And so we will present, you know, this history again, going Industrial Revolution basically until the 70s or 80s with the growth of like a what was then the gay liberation movement. And first we'll get older folks who say, I remember this place that you talked about, or we'll get younger folks who are just fascinated. And that to me is the most absolutely like that's the moment where I'm like, I'm doing the right thing with my life right now.
And you're uncovering it. You're both bringing in information from other generations, but you're also, it's history that was kind of hidden from us. It wasn't accessible to us as young people.
Oh, and that's the best part. I remember I did a presentation for GLSEN, which is the GLBTQ Student Education Network. And it was their, you know, state conference. So it was all these kids from like Gay Straight Alliance groups from across the state. And I did a presentation and a lot of it focused on these pictures that I have of drag balls of black drag queens in the 1930s during the jazz era.
Yeah.
Hosting these incredible drag balls and you get to see them. There were pictures of them in newspapers. And you could see these kids light up.
Yeah.
And I got to talk to them afterwards, and it's true. What we were talking about earlier, that I didn't know what I was going to be at 35, because I didn't see any. When we were kids, all I knew about gay people was from Will and Grace. Or the movie Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Or the AIDS crisis in general. It was not a lot of...
And Matthew Shepard. The only association we had with like a gay news story.
Yes.
Was Matthew Shepard.
The biggest. But So we didn't have the ability to see ourselves.
Yeah.
We didn't have the ability to look and say like, oh, I can connect with this. And to see other, especially young people, discover that is like unbelievable. And to me, that is exactly what a library should be, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why I love doing it through the library, because I do these talks and these kids come up and they're like, oh my God, this is so exciting. I'm so excited about this. And I say, look, next time you have a history paper, next time you have a project that you can do any kind of research for, come to the Central Library.
Yeah.
And ask about doing research on LGBTQ communities or subjects. And there will be a few librarians you will be forwarded to. I'm one of them. And we'll show you what we have. And to be able to say like, no, this is the type of knowledge that you, even today, when I can go online and see what is happening halfway across the world, I still would struggle to find stuff about queer history because so little of it was recorded. Mm-hmm. And then what was recorded is so scattered.
And really whitewashed and kind of, I feel like they kind of diminish a lot of the aspects of a lot of people's personalities and like kind of identities and stuff, where I feel like I'm still learning quite a bit about like Marsha P. Johnson. I didn't know really any other facts about her other than that she existed, you know? Yep. Like, or that she maybe threw the first brick at someone. Like, maybe I've seen pictures of her and like, you know, the first pride parades, but that's it.
Yeah. Like, and so to me, it's this magic thing about libraries.
Yeah.
Because on both ends of the age spectrum, I think I get this feeling because I also do this oral history project where I am interviewing elders. Mm-hmm. To get their stories specifically. You know, I've been talking to a lot of the people who started some of the early you know, like activist groups in Baltimore, and especially a lot of Black queer elders. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the idea that you can talk to someone and sort of realize that like what, that their life is valuable history that other people will want to know about is, again, this very exciting thing. And it's at the core of, to me, what a public library is. It's very, because I view this as like a community project, but mm-hmm. also as this very like, you know, populist almost. Yeah. This very idea of like, no, this is for everyone. And these resources must be for everyone. I don't want people to have to struggle yeah. for it because we did. We did. I didn't learn anything about LGBT history whatsoever until I was 20 years old.
We had no sense of community. We yeah. didn't know each other were out there. And I feel like a lot of times when I find out about gay history, what I'm learning about is how to be a community, basically. Learning how to show up for each other. Like, one of the things I learned from your talks was it was like near here in this neighborhood that we're in. We're in Waverly, but I think it was in Charles Village. Just somebody's house where there was a landline that you could call and talk to another gay person.
Yep.
Which like now technology is like different, but the idea that sometimes just someone, like a voice on the end of the phone, like not even to be in the same space as them, but like you can call this number and talk to another gay person for support. That was like, that's how we show up for each other. That's how we show up for each other now during COVID, but that's also how we like reach each other locally and build community and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it. And that sort of, to me, was one of these through lines that I realized, thanks to that terrible date. but these through lines that I realized that I had felt so isolated. Mm-hmm. I'd grown up in the suburbs. I like didn't ever go into the city because I didn't have a car. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, there was one other gay man I knew my age, but it just felt so isolating there. And then I moved to the rural Midwest and it was even more isolating.
Yeah.
And I felt even more disconnected from any sense of community of people like me. And so the through line is like, actually, I think that sense of community is important. It is something that you should treat as like community is a human right. Mm-hmm. And it must be accessible.
Yeah.
And so the idea that the library, the public library, should be a place where those resources are available and highlighted.
And accessible.
And accessible.
Anybody can come in. You don't have to be in school. You don't have to pay anything. Like, there are no barriers to access.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and it can be this idea of like, no, and you're, this community here, the stories are important, lives are important, you are important.
And you can see what you might grow up to be.
Exactly.
Maybe not even visually, but you can see pictures, you can see like proof that you existed like in the past. And just because something like AIDS like wiped out this whole generation mm-hmm. of people who we never got to see, mm-hmm. We never got to meet, we can still hear their stories. We know that they existed. And we know that like gay people have lived past 25 in the past and they will again.
Yeah.
Like, and that shouldn't be a radical thing, but it is.
Yeah. Like, well, and that's it. And I think that's also the like joy of this tradition within like queer and trans communities of being your own role model,
mm-hmm.
right? That it's a way of paying it forward.
Yes.
That, you know, you can say, well, I wish I had someone like me now.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Right.
That person you can see. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like being able to be that for people is just this incredibly heartwarming, incredibly validating experience, because it is, you know, it is a practice and empathy that really, whenever we see like young queer trans folks, we always see ourselves in them,
yeah.
right? Because we're always comparing. We're always saying, oh, like, oh my God, you have like shows you can watch on television and you can go online and like talk to other LGBT people and like, you know, all this stuff. And you're like, oh my God, how great would that have been?
Yeah.
But then to be able to say like, and no, and moreover, I want to be someone who can show the next little like nerdy gay Jewish bookish kid that you can have a like stable adult life,
yeah.
and do stuff you care about and be connected to the community.
And you belong in the community.
Yes.
You belong in not just in the gay community, but you belong to the public library. Everyone can go there and see and feel welcome.
Yes. And that there we serve the public and that you are part of the public. And your life, your stories are what we come here to you know, enlighten and expand.
We buy books about gay people, we uplift gay people, we employ gay people. We're visibly gay for the whole city. And young people walking in can like see that.
Yeah. And that's really, I think, to bring it all to a conclusion, that really tied it together for me.
Yeah.
Of being able to say, you know, the library was always a nice place for me, but I didn't see what I wanted there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was either I didn't see queer people in the public library, or I didn't see the public in places where I could learn about queer people, to then be able to sort of connect that together is that moment of, oh, yes, this is why I became a librarian, and this is why that was a good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think we're out of time.
Yeah. 10:41. All right. Yeah. I have to say, one of the coolest, most rewarding things that has happened in the library was when we marched in the Pride Parade 2 years ago. And like, it really didn't occur to me that like people felt the same way until we were marching down the street at Pride. And I was like, oh, you know, we're the library. Nobody really cares. Like, we're giving out bookmarks. But people were like screaming and cheering for the library.
People were so excited.
They're like, yes, like, we love Overdrive. We love the library. And I was like, wow, you do? Like, other queer people feel this way?
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it blew my mind, but it was also like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And that's it, is that I think libraries have often been a special place for queer people. And I think the joy is in something we both try and do, which is to highlight that and to really build off that.
Yeah.
Make it an even better place for queer people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.